We've already had such a rich celebration, so many lights and smells and sounds, so many beautiful texts to meditate on, and we're only doing 3 of the 7 readings. There's so much more that we could have to meditate on. But I hope to speak a word that will reach your hearts, so I want to ask you to help me by praying for me. If you could just take a moment to pray for me, and I'll be praying for you, that that word can reach your hearts. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We have walked through these days in which yesterday our hope was dashed. We were brought to the tomb and we left Jesus there. And this touches on so many areas in our lives where we experienced sadness or death, where we experienced loss, pain, suffering. But in our celebration this evening, we have a reason for hope. There is hope. No matter what we are encountering, there is hope. We see that indicated by Peter. Peter had experienced this loss very painfully. Peter, with the other apostles, was gathered in the upper room. They were sad, distraught. Peter's hopes had been dashed. Perhaps he was consumed with self-pity over his failures, his denial of the Lord. Perhaps he was stewing, not knowing what he would do next. He gave up everything to follow this Savior, and now everything had seemed to be lost. But Peter made an act of hope, and we hear that at the very end of our gospel. He got up. When he heard the proclamation of the women who had gone to the tomb, he got up. He didn't stay in his self-pity. He didn't stay in his sorrow. He didn't stay in his cynicism and despair, complaining about how everything was broken and there are problems everywhere. He didn't remain in front of his television. He didn't remain in front of his newspaper. He didn't remain in his home. He got up. He got up and went out to look for himself. He went out and even ran. He ran to the tomb. It was an act of hope. And he allowed himself to come to that tomb that we all experience in one way or another when things don't go our way, when we face pain and difficulty and have struggles, and sometimes we just want to avoid that tomb. Might be a relationship, maybe our relationship with a close family member, maybe with a friend, maybe with a coworker. We experience that tomb and we stay away from it. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. And he looked in and he didn't fully understand, but he was amazed. He allowed himself to be amazed again. How easily we lose amazement. Children have such wonderful amazement. It's one of the reasons that Jesus says, unless you become like this child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Children have amazement. They allow themselves to be amazed, even at things, maybe especially at things they don't understand. Adults become cynical and cold, maybe even angry and bitter. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb and allowed himself to be amazed again. This is the hope that we need, to be fully alive. We're not fully alive if everything is in our control, if we have everything figured out, if we have no room for amazement, we're not fully alive. To be fully alive involves taking risks, but we can't take risks unless there is a reason for hope. We need a reason for hope so that we can take a risk. the risk to be vulnerable, the risk to open up to someone, the risk to ask for help, the risk to choose to have a child, to bring a life into this world and care for that life, the risk to set out in a new direction in life, maybe forced by unemployment, maybe welcomed as a change, to take the risk to share the gospel, that we might speak these words and share our experience, our faith with someone else. It's a risk. The risk to let ourselves be seen by someone, even in our weakness. The risk of admitting that we have failed. The risk of confessing our sins. The risk of those like Father preached about yesterday, Margaret Middleton, and those who took a risk to have priests and masses said in their homes when that was punishable by death. And indeed, that risk led them to death. Having the risk of letting go of who I think I ought to be and accepting who I am. Taking the risk of being with someone who is suffering, even when we don't know what to do to help them. Taking the risk of being with someone who is weeping and not knowing the words to say. Taking the risk of going out to the tomb with Peter, where death has been, and hoping beyond hope that life can come forth. How do we develop the courage to have this kind of hope, hope that gives us the courage to take risks and to be fully alive? We hear several indications in our readings. One is precisely what the angels said to the women. They said, remember. Remember the words that he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Remember. Pope Francis has said to us that a Christian is essentially one who remembers. Who remembers what God has done for us. Who remembers that God is faithful. Who remembers our own baptism. It's what we'll do just after the homily. We'll renew our baptismal promises and be sprinkled again with water so that we can remember our baptism, to remember that we have been embraced into God's family, to remember that Christ not only died with us, but he rose that we might also rise with him, to remember not just what it says on the news, not just the bad things that happen to me, not just the bitter moments in life, not just our grudges against people, but to remember what God has done, and that life is stronger than death, love is stronger than hate, truth stronger than lies. To remember. When the women heard this, they did remember. And that's also what we need. This isn't a solo act. We need to remind each other. Remember that Jesus rose. Remember that he loves you. We need to remind each other as well. We're together in this journey. We remind each other so that we can stir up hope in our hearts. To offer a little image for you, when I came in yesterday during the Good Friday service, I just stayed at the back and I listened to Father Leon's homily. But I saw in that little room around the corner, all of the flowers that you see out here now, they were all hiding back there, hiding in that little room. And I thought, that's a perfect image for our hope, for our Christian faith. Because no matter how dark a situation is that we might be in, even Good Friday, Easter is just hiding around the corner. Those Easter flowers are just right around the corner, and they're going to spring forth at any moment. That's the hope that Christ gives us. No matter how dark and desolate, poor and broken we feel, no matter how lost we feel in our own sins, Easter is hiding right around the corner. And that gives us the courage to risk loving and trusting. Our Lady is the one who can really help us to do that. In our second reading tonight, we heard about God casting a glance on the Egyptians that scattered them and destroyed them. And it's that same glance that he cast upon us at our baptism when he looked on us and said, "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." When we can remember that glance, that gaze of God, it gives us strength and hope. Our Lady knows that gaze so well, and if ever you forget it, just ask her to share it with you. And ask each other, because sometimes when I forget it, you might remember, and sometimes when you forget it, I might remember. And together we can remind each other of the love that God has for us, which is stronger than any darkness that we would ever experience.